Y'all glad to be in the house of God this morning? We are going to continue in our series of worship, and we talked about hope-centered worship last week. We're going to talk about peace-centered worship, that the peace of Christ will cause us to worship the Almighty God. We're going to read Psalm 29, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. Psalm 29, this is also a psalm of David. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and worship you, that we can hear from you, Lord, that your presence is among us, lives in us, and that we can experience your peace. I pray, Lord, that we will see you in all of your splendor and all of your glory, your power, and your majesty. We will stand in awe and worship you. Lord, fill our hearts with your peace today. Help me to preach plain and clear, Lord. As a preacher of your word, I do understand that there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. And thank you. You may be seated. As we look at Psalm 29 and we read this, I want us to think about what it means to have peace. And if we were to ask individuals and we were to ask people, what does it mean to have peace? Many might say, well, to have peace means that everything's going well in my life. That if things are going well and smooth and there's no problems or issues, then I have peace. And I want us to really dig that up for a moment. And so this morning, as we go through the message, I really want us to think. And I want us to evaluate what it truly means to have peace. And so when we think about peace, you may think peace in that way. And as we were discussing in staff, and we're talking about peace Pastor John said, one of the pictures that I see of peace in that type of form is when Jesus calmed the storm. Y'all remember that story? How many of y'all remember the story of Jesus when he calms the storm? So we're going to look at that. And as we look at this story, as we look at this account in Jesus' life when he calmed the storm, and we look at a couple of other illustrations of Jesus' life, I want us to always keep in mind the psalm that we just read, okay, Psalm 29. We're going to get back to that and see if you can't see an important connection between the two. So in Mark chapter 4, we are told of this story. Now, Jesus had been teaching, and the disciples had been teaching for a long period of time, a long day. There's a lot of people pressing in on him. They're ministering, serving, helping a lot of people, and they were tired, and they were ready to have some rest. And so they were going to get on a boat, go across the other side of the sea, and find some rest. Life ever get hectic for you? Huh? You ever feel like life just keeps going, 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 and it would be nice just to have a little bit of rest? Can I get some peace in the house? Can the kids just be quiet for 1 minute? Just 1 minute. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for much, just 1 minute. Can things slow down? Can it just quiet? Can it be calm? And so the disciples, they're busy, they're pressed, they're needing a break. Anybody ever just need a break? And they're needing a break. And so they get on this boat. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace. Be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The encounter that they had there in the presence of Jesus in the boat caused such a fear to come over them that they stood in awe and in wonder of the power of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what worship is? Isn't that what worship is when we understand the power and the authority of the Lord God Almighty and who he is, that he is sovereign over all things, that he has all power, does that not cause us to humble ourselves in fear and in reverence and in awe of how great our God is? So let's look at this story. Let's unfold this for a minute. Can you picture it? Can you picture these disciples tired, worn out, hard day, working long hours, ministering to people? Any of you all have to work with a lot of people and long hours? And boy, you just need to get away. You just need a break. And they're getting on this boat thinking, "Whew, finally, we're going to have some peace." And they get on this boat and things are going well. And then all of a sudden, this wind storm, the storm comes and the waves are crashing and the wind is blowing and the thunder is clapping and the lightning is striking and the boat is filling up with water and it keeps filling up with water. And they're wondering, is this boat going to capsize? Are we going to sink? Any of you all feel like life just throws waves at you, crashes you, bombards you? It seems like that things are just going left and right and up and down and you're in this storm. My marriage is in a storm. My kids are in a storm. My health is in a storm. My finances are in a storm. These disciples, they find themselves in the storm and they begin to look and wonder where Jesus is. Wait a minute. We're the only ones up here concerned about what's going on. Any of you feel that Jesus is not aware of what you're going through? That life seems like it's rocking you back and forth and you look around and you're like, "Jesus? Where are you?" And the disciples go and they find Jesus, and what is he doing? He's sleeping. "What are you doing, Jesus?" The disciples wake him up and they say what? don't you care? We're perishing. We're about to die up here, and you're sleeping. What's wrong with you? Don't you see what's going on? Don't you care about us? Many of us, we get to those moments, don't we? Life is going out of control, spinning out of control. Things are happening that we never planned that would happen. And we have a tendency to react like this to these disciples, come running and wondering, Jesus, are you even aware of what's going on? And why are you not doing something about it? And so Jesus gets up and he says, peace, be still. The Greek is a little bit more direct than that. It literally means he says to the wind and the waves, hush. And the wind ceases. And the sea calms. And the disciples understand they are in the presence of someone mighty. And they are overwhelmed with a sense of fear, reverence, and awe. And they ask this question, who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this man? That's a good question, isn't it? Who is Jesus? Who is this man that can calm the storm with his voice? He is the God who has the voice over the waters. He is the voice of the Lord that is powerful. It is the voice of the Lord full of majesty. The voice of the Lord that breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord that flashes from flames of fire. It is the voice that shakes the wilderness. It is the voice that makes the deer give birth. It is the voice of the Lord God Almighty that David sang about and praised about. It is Jesus who is the voice, the one who called out nothing, existence out of nothing, and created the heavens and the earth. It is the voice of the Lord who spoke the world into existence, who formed and fashioned our innermost being. It is the voice of the Lord who did this. It is the voice of God, the Lord Jesus, who said peace, and the wind that he created obeyed him. That's powerful. His voice, with one word from Jesus, changes everything. What kind of man does that? Who alone can do that? Who alone can give peace there in the midst of the storm? I think when I think of the authority of God's word, when I think of the authority of his voice and the power of his voice, I think of another story where Jesus goes and he heals this individual just by a word. And Luke records an incident of a Roman centurion. Now, a Roman centurion was over 1,000 soldiers. A centurion had a position of power, of authority. He served in the Roman army, and so he was put in charge of soldiers. And so he understood what it meant for authority. And in Luke, we have this story in Luke chapter 7. After he, this is Jesus, had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. And when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews asking him to come and heal his servant. Now, this Roman centurion, he was aware of who Jesus was. He was aware of the stories of Jesus. More than likely, as we see, he was a God-fearing Gentile. The book of Acts tells us about those who were Gentiles, who would not convert and be a proselyte to Judaism, but yet they still feared the God of the Hebrews. He was favorable to the Jews, as we will see, and he helped them and allowed funding and allowed them to rebuild and to build a synagogue in their town. And so it says, verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, this is the Jews who came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. They're saying, Jesus, this man, he's a Roman centurion. I know he's not one of us, but he's favorable to our people, and he's helped us build a synagogue. He has a servant who is sick and needs your help, and we think this would be a good thing for you to do, right? They're asking Jesus for a favor. And Jesus went with them, verse 6. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Now let's just stop right there. Notice the humility of this Roman centurion. Him being aware of what Jesus has done, his preaching and teaching ministry, he says, you don't even have to come under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. You have more power and authority than I ever will. But here's what he says. Now notice what this centurion says to Jesus. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but what? But say the word. But just say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Do you understand how the Roman centurion viewed this man? What was the question by the disciples? What kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can do that? And then we had this Roman centurion whose servant falls sick. He's not even willing to go and bother Jesus with this. He has too much, he's too humble. He doesn't feel worthy enough to even approach Jesus, but the Jews on his behalf go approach Jesus for him. And so when Jesus starts coming to his house, he says, I'm not even worthy to have you in my house, but here's what I know, because of the type of man you are, all you have to do is say the word and he'll be healed. Why? Because you have the authority to do so. He understood the power of authority. That Jesus was not like any other man. That Jesus had the power to say, be healed, and they would be healed. That no matter what Jesus said, he had the power and authority and the command over the life situations. And Jesus gave the word, and the man was healed. When Jesus speaks peace, guess what comes? Peace. When he says it, it is. Now, when I say it, it may not be. But when he says it, it is. And what we see when we come to the Advent season, we look back at what Jesus did, right? So the first Advent is first coming. And when we look at Jesus' first coming, what are we seeing? I believe in the life and the ministry of Jesus, his power, his miracles, his healing, all that he is doing, I believe that that is showing us what his kingdom will be. He's ushering in a kingdom, but yet Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Right? So he's speaking of another kingdom from a different realm. Thus, the focus of the second advent. That there is coming a reality and a day when all that we have seen what Jesus did, we will live in that experience in that moment of perfect peace. But I want to go back and visit the disciples and Jesus on the boat. Okay, let's talk about that just for a moment. Because in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus promises his disciples and tells him something before he's going to depart. Jesus has been with his disciples for 3 years. They've seen his miracles. They've heard his teaching and preaching. They've seen him do wonders. And then Jesus says, it's good for me that I go away. Now let's think about that. Do you think the disciples thought that was a good idea? Oh, wait a minute. No, it's good that you stay. We want you to stay here. Jesus says, no, it's good for me that I go away. Because when he goes away, he is going to send us the helper or the comforter or the counselor. And here's what he says in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be what? Afraid. He says, my peace I leave with you. I am going to give you my peace. I'm not just going to give you peace. I am going to give you my peace. There's a difference. Let's go back to the boat. Let's think about it. We're going to think a little bit this morning. Is that okay? Now, when the disciples were in the boat, okay, and the storm began raging and tossing, and they were afraid, they go to Jesus and they ask, what are you doing? You don't care. And he calms it with a word. When Jesus calms the sea, what do the disciples experience? Okay, they did experience the fear of God, but they experienced peace, right? They experienced the peace of the storm, right? So for the disciples, peace was conditioned upon the circumstances around them. Would you say that's true? The wind was crashing, the waves was crashing, everything looked like it was falling apart, looked like they were about to die. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. The storm is calmed. Whew. Now I have what? Peace. But now let's think about it. Who else was in the boat besides the disciples? Jesus. Jesus was in the boat. Was he in the boat the same time when the disciples was experiencing the storm that about sunk the boat? Yes. But what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. He was at what? He was at peace. Why? So let me ask you this question. Would you rather have peace when things calm in your life? Or would you rather have the peace of Jesus that's not based on what's going on around you? That the storms could be raging, the water could be crashing, the boat could be sinking, all hell could be breaking loose, the marriage may be falling apart, the job may be falling apart, your health may be falling apart, everything may seem like it's all going crazy, but you have the peace of Jesus that no matter what's going on around you, you have a peace that passes all understanding and your heart is calmed, your heart is stilled, and your soul is unwavering, and it doesn't matter what goes on around me, I have peace in my life. Now, which kind of peace would you rather have? Jesus's peace, right? Because here's the thing. Jesus makes a clear promise to us that nobody ever wants to sing about, nobody ever wants to claim. In this world, you will have trouble. But fear not, I have what? Overcome the world. You see, if the if my peace only comes to me when my life situation calms down, I am going to be up and down all through life. Agree? Because all through life, guess what you're going to have? Peaks and valleys. Disappointments. Heartache. Suffering. You're going to get bad news. Right? Right? But what's God doing? God is making a name for himself through our life. Right? Now, I'm only comfortable saying that God works all things for my good if I understand that my good may mean, like the Apostle Paul, he gets his head chopped off. Say, hey, Paul, was that good? Didn't seem good to me. But it sure ushered him into heaven, didn't it? So be very careful about evaluating your life based on your circumstances and saying that only when things are going my way and only when things are peaceful and calm and only when things settle down and only when I can rest is God working in my heart and in my life. No, God's working in my life and he uses storms, he uses trials, he uses fire to refine us and to make us who he wants us to be so that his name might be glorified, that the testimony can be, see what kind of God that we serve, what kind of God is this that can give me peace through fire, that I can walk through trials and I can still have peace, and that no matter what's going around me, I'm okay. Now that's a gift. You can't buy that at the grocery store. That only comes through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives you his peace. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said this, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried, don't be stressed, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Watch this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now we talk about the Advent, his first coming. Jesus, when he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to usher in his kingdom. His kingdom is yet to come. His kingdom rules and reigns right now in the hearts of his people. So the peace of God is realized through the in the lives of believers. Because we don't have peace in this world, do we? We still have trials. We still have hardships. We still have sufferings. We still have problems. If you're looking for that to end, can I tell you, that's not Christianity. I'm not going to lie to you and say, hey, you come to Jesus and your life will be free from all pain and suffering and hardships. That's not true. That's the American gospel. That's not the word of God. Jesus, when he gathered his disciples, he said this, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, what have I told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. You see, here's where our hope lies, and here's where our future peace lies. Here's when we cease from having the storms of life when Jesus returns and he sets up his kingdom. That's when there's no more suffering. There's no more pain. There's no more disease. There's no more sickness. There's no more theft. There's no more gossip. There's no more murder. There's no more adultery. There's no more wickedness. And until all of that ceases, we will not live in a perfect, peaceful situation. We will always have turmoil in this world. There will always be people who get murdered. There will always be people who get diseases. There will always be people who suffer. But for the believer, even if I'm going through hardship and suffering, I can have a peace in my heart that passes all understanding. And you know what? I have witnessed that, and I have seen several of you all live that way. There are some of you that have battled some physical news that for a lot of people would get them all worried and stressed out and get them afraid. But you faced it and you said, I know God's in control and he's got this and I'm not worried. Do you know how valuable that is? That no matter what is going on around me, there is a calmness in my soul. That no matter what bad news I hear, no matter what I see going around me, that I can have a peace in my heart. To me, that's the peace I want. What about you? Because until the day of his return, we will have hardship. We will have suffering. We'll have some victories. There'll be moments in life and seasons in life where, man, things are going well. Maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years. Man, it seems like, man, for the last 10 years, my life's been, whoo, smooth sailing. But watch out. You never know when you're going to get the next word from a doctor, the next word from your spouse, the next word from your boss, the next word from your kids. That can turn your life upside down. And if you're basing your peace on your circumstances, when your circumstances start swirling, your faith will start wavering. But if your faith is grounded in the God of peace, who passes all understanding, then no matter what goes on around me, I can still have perfect peace. That's the gift. Now, I don't know if you have that or not. That can only come through knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you've never placed your faith in Christ and you were never called upon his name, I'm going to ask you this morning, would you come and admit, hey, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you died for me and that you rose again. Come into my life and save me. And for those of you who are believers, and you may be experiencing a storm right now. There may be things that just seems like every wheel is falling off. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't look at the circumstances around you. Look at the God who has the power to say one word to grant you his peace that passes all understanding. And let the peace of God rule over, guide, and guard your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we look at what it means to have peace, Lord, I am thankful that your peace is greater than just circumstantial. And I know that no matter what goes on around me, even if it doesn't seem to be pleasant, I can still have your peace. Lord, I know there are families in our church who are hurting, struggling. They are in a storm. The waves are crashing. The boat does seem like it's sinking. Lord, I ask that you would just speak peace over their life. Calm their heart, calm their mind today. as they look to you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.